Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the South Dakota State Capitol Building in Pierre. Coming up next hour, we've got the Dakota Political Junkies, and then we'll have leadership from the South Dakota State House and House of Representatives and State Senate with us. But we finish out this hour with the new South Dakota State Attorney General. Jason Roundsburg is here in the room with me. Hello. Welcome, Attorney General.
Thank you, Lori. It's nice to be with you here in person.
So it seems like the last time we talked, it was still during the campaign, and we spoke a lot at that time about leadership and your experience in the military with leadership, and now you're leading an office, the Attorney General's office, through a transition. So talk a little bit about just the transition and some of the ways you approach that as
well,
a leader.
Well, we've had a lot of transition going on because I've actually, in the military, had my replacement named in the job that I've got there as a battalion commander. So I've been balancing two transitions at the time, and we went out to a number of conferences. I've been to the Sheriff's Conference. I've been to the Fraternal Order of Police Conference. Sat down with the State's Attorneys Association the very next day for lunch, right after the election. Hit the ground running, and then I sat down and I talked with key members of the Attorney General's office about the budget the very first day, and then the very next day they also had the law enforcement banquet, so I met with them. And then I've also gone out and talked to some other attorney generals around the country and talked about common cases and just how they did transition, and been going very well, I would think.
How has your experience helped you handle that transition? Because you have to come in, a lot of people want to bend your ear, for sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've been looking at lots of bills and such. We have to manage our time, obviously, very well, but we do have process in place when a bill comes in, or I've talked to a legislator and we review that process. I hit the ground running on the first day. I got sworn in, and in the same afternoon having a conference call about a case around the state, and we worked through this week, and I think my experience of management skills, running a meeting, I had a meeting with all of the staff, all the attorneys and all the DCI on my first business day, Monday, where I got up and talked with everyone and expectations and kind of commander's intent, if you will, from my military days, and set a good tone, I think.
Now, do you stay with the South Dakota National Guard? Are you, what's that
process? I'm actually in the Army Reserves,
which
is the federal.
My mistake, Army Reserves.
I did find out that the DOD is fully funded because we've had prior shutdowns, and being reserves, they have not had drill on when there's been shutdowns. But we are fully funded, and I'll actually have drill this weekend down in Fremont, where all my commanders are coming in and briefing me. Kind of like today, we had a department head meeting at the Attorney General's office, and all the department heads come in. And I kind of watched how they did it this time, but, make a few tweaks to how I like to see material presented and such, and go forward there. As far as staying in the military, we'll see how it goes, but I made a promise that I would stay through my command, which ends in the May-June timeframe, and then we'll look at things. I have enough time to retire, and most likely will retire. I love it, but my commitment is first to the people of the state of South Dakota as being their next Attorney General. So.
Tell me a little bit about when you talk to South Dakota sheriffs, when you talk to the FOP leadership, what are some of the things that these are people who largely in the campaign supported or endorsed you, so there's not a whole lot of surprises here. We were talking about this before, but what are some of the issues that are top of mind to law enforcement officers in this state?
Well, obviously our meth problem, and I see on your notes, I will admit, the SB 19 is our bill to repeal presumptive probation, and I do believe I have a lot of support amongst law enforcement, state's attorneys, the Fraternal Order of Police, to make some changes to SB 70 and 73. I've also been in consultation with also a number of legislators who have been talking to superintendents of schools, because SB 73, the juvenile matter, just doesn't work as efficiently as we could. We haven't put a bill forward yet. We're working in conjunction with some of those legislators to find the right language and see where we'd like to go. I do believe that the police force and law enforcement of our state was encouraged by the governor's address yesterday, because they've also been asking for resources for rehabilitation. And we want to make sure that we can get people off of methamphetamines and they can become productive members of society again, so then they can have families and pay taxes and work and have a purpose again in life.
I want to dig into SB 19 a little bit because I think there's a little confusion about how that actually would, change. You know, we talk about presumptive probation. I spoke with Mayor Steve Allender, who has a law enforcement background, this week on the show, and he talked about, sometimes I don't want to lock, I'm not saying lock people up, but sometimes that tool needs to be in the toolkit.
Correct.
Other people are saying, yeah, but that tool is being used against people who have very low-level, drug crimes, and that hurts families too. So explain the details of SB 19 and how it would play out.
All right. First off, it gives discretion back to judges, and I think that that's a good thing. I think that most all of our judges across our state are good, common-sense people who are live and work in our communities, and right now, it's presumed you're going to get probation. And you have to do what they call aggravating circumstances. And there's a specific list of what needs to be done to go beyond the presumption. And this would give judges more discretion. It would also cause the defendants, we believe, to have to work with law enforcement more. They have to give something to get the same thing they're getting in a statute now. It gives judges and prosecutors more flexibility on how they charge and what they can expect. And I do believe that it will benefit our state by getting information to get the drug dealers, because that's ultimately who I'm after. Because we cannot continue to just tread water by continuing to make a bigger and bigger pool of users if we're not getting them the help they need, but them also helping us, give us information to get the dealers to slow down the drug trade in our state.
So in practice, and I apologize if I'm wrong about this, but in practice, that could mean that if you find somebody who's using at a fairly low level, if they don't cooperate, they could end up behind bars for something that normally you wouldn't necessarily want them.
It's a possibility. It's up to the judge, but it also gives them the discretion to also, sometimes you need to take the person out of the situation. I've seen cases all over the state where they get caught, they're held for 72 hours till the meth runs out of their system, and then they're released back out. They go right back to their dealer, they go right back to using. There is no violation, there is no consequences, and we just continue to spin the wheels. Some judges I've seen, if they can find the aggravating circumstances now, and sometimes that's difficult, they have sentenced them to 5, 10, 20 years, whatever the case may be, but sent them to the penitentiary for 90 days or so to get them out of the situation and also try and get them some services there to, A, get their attention, and, B, provide some services. Because I believe wonderfully in the drug courts. I think they work, but there's no incentive to use them right now. Yankton, where I'm from, has got about 11 people in drug court right now. We have quite the problem, I believe, in that area of the state, and there's only 11 people using drug court, because they know if we go to drug court and we fail one time, we can be sent to the penitentiary. Over here, now we have presumptive probation. They're given 7-8 chances, depending, before they think about maybe bringing them before the judge, who then, with it potentially hands still tied, restarts their probation. So I do believe it is a balance between the carrot and the stick. I'm not looking to send hundreds of people to the prison, but I think they also need to be able to get the help that they need, and that's where I will have either my legislation covering where my office, or in conjunction with the governor's office, or some of these legislators, to work on the rehabilitation wing. Or my third component, which probably doesn't get talked about as much, is the work component. Obviously, as you know, we have a work shortage, or we have great low unemployment. That's a great thing. But obviously, you still need people to work in certain jobs and in factories. And so I'm saying if we send them to the penitentiary system, let's work and put them into trustee units like we do in Yankton and Rapid City, or the women's prison here in Pierre, and put them back to work, teach them a skill. Like Yankton has a Sapa, Wilson trailer. They teach them metal work. I mean, it's hot, heavy work, but it's work. Teaches them to be a welder a lot of times. And if you can become a welder, you can probably make $25 an hour. And I think that's a very positive aspect for our state.
We have less than a minute left, but I'm wondering if there is another issue you want to talk about in the future when it comes to legislative priorities.
Well, yes. I could talk about lots of them, but with 1 minute to go, we've got a couple small bills that should pass pretty easily. There's a consumer protection, and there's a bill for the tobacco company. Those are 20 and 21. The tobacco bill basically is a maintenance bill. We should get about $17,000 to $25,000 into the state without much opposition. We are talking to a number of groups on human trafficking and sex trafficking and also labor trafficking. I think our laws are maybe not as up to date as possible. Also consumer protection. We want to make sure we have the latest technology and up to date. Sometimes when the law says if you swipe a card, and now we have chips in a lot of our credit cards, just that we cover that if there's intent in stealing of that. And so we want to make sure that we're protecting people, not just in the criminal front of violent crime and drugs, but also the consumer protection front. And those are a couple of the quick topics in a minute.
Right, and we'll dig into those much more with you in the future. South Dakota Attorney General Jason Roundsburg, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Laurie.